one of the key tools for getting past ego-mindedness is feeling. And I will add to that deep feeling. In spiritual practice, there's a kind of belief that there is the natural and the supernatural, the physical and the metaphysical. And I would argue that the only difference between physical and metaphysical, natural, supernatural, is a depth of feeling. Or a depth of awareness. But let's start with feeling, because I think that's the most practical. And here's something that happens when we're very young. We start to experiment with or experience levels of feeling. And we start to uncover what we might call the norm, where we're comfortable in our range of feelings. We can feel this happy, and we can feel this sad or uncomfortable or unhappy. And that's kind of where we want to live. We don't want to live in the depth of sadness, despair, unhappiness. And there's a certain place above which it gets uncomfortable. Too much happiness. You might call it ecstasy, but it's not sustainable. And it becomes attractive, desirable, and then, like all feelings, it's passing. And then the loss of the ecstatic becomes the reflection of a kind of deep disappointment, sadness, and depression. So we begin to bounce between those, and we try to restabilize by coming in the middle of our feelings, and we walk around in a very narrow band of emotionality. Now, some of us are programmed in certain ways that the feelings, certain kinds of feelings, take predominance. And sometimes we become very unraveled in them, wrapped up in them. Those of you who've had bad parenting have feelings that are easily incited into anger and disappointment and sadness, and not hard to get to. Things can spark them in a second. And many of our desires are to not spark that, so we try to live separate from that. But when you're living around people who spark your feelings, they get ignited all the time, and then you have a real kind of suffering, and you have to figure out, what do I do with all these feelings? And everyone has strategies. Everybody has their own strategies, and one of them is compartmentalizing, putting your feelings, into pockets and in closets and in drawers and stuffing them away and just going, I don't have to go there, and leaving them there. And often when placed in closets, they tend to fester. They get uncomfortable. But if you don't open that door, you kind of feel relatively safe. So you start cutting off feelings, and then you realize that the feelings that are being cut off in one area start to not allow themselves to be expressed in other areas. So you find yourself living in a very, very narrow spectrum of what you're really feeling, because you've packed away and hidden away so many of these unconscious feelings. So one of the things that happens when you start to meditate, when you enter into quote-unquote a spiritual life, meaning a deeper life, you start to have to acknowledge in some way that you've locked up these feelings, that they are there somewhere, and that rather than have them arrive unwanted and unexpectedly at various moments, I mean, you see it all the time, you know, somebody sideswipes you in your car, and suddenly the basement full of feelings come surging out of nowhere. You don't even know that you have that many feelings about people and things and events, and then you have to stuff everything back in again, and then you're aware of not only stuffing, but keeping stuff, you know, closeted and impacted somewhere. And what happens in all of that is that the practice of sitting still and meditation becomes really an unpleasant idea. Because in your stillness, in your breaking down of defenses, in your allowing doors to open inside you and relaxing into the largeness of your being, feelings start to announce themselves again. And you begin to be aware that there is a closet full, basement full, storage house full of stuff that hasn't been active in your life. And rather than engage all of that, better not to meditate. Don't go there. The don't go there part of human experience, or the suppressing the opioid epidemic that we're experiencing, the alcoholic problems that, you know, fill our environment and our society. These are all ways of repressing, ignoring, not admitting to the level of feeling that you have within that you don't feel comfortable with, or on the other hand, you're truly afraid of. So one of the true barriers to deep feeling, deep experience, spiritual expansion is the doorways that are blocked by your own fears. So the ego mind has the capacity to say, I want to open. I want to surrender. And that means that you slowly open the door to the hidden stuff. You open the door and let it start to come out. And it will be probably at first uncomfortable. But then something else happens with feelings. One is, you know, you realize they're yours. They're actually very familiar. Many of them have been put away since you were tiny. And they have, because you've grown over the course of time, a kind of a nostalgic quality, an intimate quality. They are things that about you that you need to remember and know. And you kind of have forgotten what you used to feel. And as you start to open the door to feelings, many of them are not uncomfortable. They remind you of something important. They remind you of who you were. They remind you of the journey that you've been on. They remind you of this extraordinary reality that we live in. And then, of course, there start to be certain feelings that are just, in your mind anyway, untenable. I can't go there. I can't bear that. The difference between people who have what's called an examined life or an unexamined life, or a spiritual life or non-spiritual life, or a deep life and or a shallow life, is really how you handle the stuff that is untenable, how you deal with the feelings that are not acceptable. Because they are the guardians that stand between you and the vastness of possibility in your emotional, spiritual life. If you want to be a truly, quote-unquote, realized being, you have to begin by realizing what you have hidden in yourself, what you have buried away, what is too painful to touch, what is too extreme for you to acknowledge. You have to go there bit by bit. You can do it with the help of a therapist. You can do it simply by sitting still and incrementally, bit by bit, day by day, opening a little bit more and realizing, I can do this. I can feel this. I can allow this to reanimate itself or to reintroduce itself into my being. And as you start to do that over the course of years and even decades, you will start to realize that I am able to handle this magnitude of feeling. What it does is it enriches and expands you. It makes you into someone, something that is bigger than you were. You will start to have an enormous appreciation for who you are. And if you arrive at realization or awakening or enlightenment, what happens is you have come to a place where you go yes to the totality of your feelings, and a door opens widely into something remarkable, which is that your feelings are not yours alone, that you share the feelings of humanity and perhaps of every form of living being. You share that. Your feelings that you've hidden away are the same feelings that other people have hidden away. And you completely get it because you've done the work to go into the depth of your soul, and you see how tight and how wound up you are in your fear of yourself. You start to open to that, and then you start to become aware of how everyone else is at some place along the spectrum of doing the same thing. What that ignites in you is an enormous amount of one, empathy, incredible empathy, because you begin to feel other people's feelings because you've known them in yourself. You become deeply conscious and aware of others in a diagnostic and in an emotional sense. It becomes beyond physical. It's a kind of metaphysical, I know you. I know your problem. I know what you're going through because I know me. I know what I went through. I know the journey that I've been on, and my journey is your journey, or really our journey. We're all on this journey, and it's really hard. It's not easy for anybody. It takes courage, it takes discipline, it takes a willingness and a desire to reach beyond or below or deepening into the unconscious part of your being, meaning the parts of you you're afraid to feel. You go into those places and you will begin to merge not only beyond feeling, you enter knowing. You enter the realm of knowing. Feeling leads to deep and profound awareness. And that's what we're trying to do in meditation. But almost everyone I meet in the meditative arena goes to a certain place and goes, that's it. Not going there. Nope. Found my place. And basically stops the journey. They abort it because it's too scary. It's too hard. It requires too much work. And so people take themselves to the edge of expanded consciousness, to the edge of realization, to the edge of awakening, and they abort it. And they abort it for good reason. Good reason. It's painful. It's really hard to feel that much. And also to realize that in this awakening, not only are you going into the deep feeling of who you are and beyond it, but you will then be able to take on the deep struggle and feeling of every human being, and you will feel it. But you will have the muscle to feel it because it has begun to transform into this ultimate's the wrong word, but larger awareness called compassion. You will walk around in a state of, I get it. I get what they're going through. You will want to take people's hands, put your hands on their shoulders. You will want to hug people. You will want to say, I get what you're going through. I understand it. You will see them in their anger. You'll see them in their fear, in their rebellion. And you may not be able to forgive some of the way they are acting because it may be so wrong and inappropriate and difficult and harmful, but you will get it and you will be compassionate. This is what ego mind can do. The ego mind can actually go on a journey into an expanded awareness, into a higher consciousness, into a supernatural, metaphysical ability to know the world, simply by going deeply through your feelings into the core of knowing. This is the journey we are on, every one of us. Most people I know do not go there. Most people I know have found 1,000 reasons not to engage this journey. and I have compassion because I know what it feels like to lock that stuff up, to be afraid, to not engage, to walk away from, to hide from oneself. Because the self is experienced through feeling. You can get there through mind a little bit. You know, you can get there through speculation and philosophy and theology, kind of. But the only real way to get there is feeling your way into the essence of your being. And you've got to have the drive, the courage, the discipline, and the desire to go yes, even when it's as scary as can be. In a way, that's the yogic life, to join, to conjoin, to come together with what? You. You. And what are you? A basket of feelings. You know, Hillary Clinton called them the basket of deplorables. We are all deplorable on some level. And the deplorables around us are the ones who are hurting the most. They are acting out. They are afraid. They have no training. They have no capacity, no easy capacity to take on this enormous journey. But they are in as need of it as we are. They're just further away. How do you break through to that in somebody else? Life is working on that. Life, the universe, the creator, if you will, is working on that, breaking through. It has broken through to us on some level because we're sitting here making a daily effort to try to approach the depth of emotional truth that exists within us. We are trying to do that to some degrees effectively, to some degrees less effectively, but we are making a concerted effort. There are people who are making zero effort. If anything, they are trying to deaden and dull everything in them that might go on that journey. If there is such a thing as evolutionary purpose, and I think maybe there is, that purpose may be what we are experiencing, the flowering of our emotional truth, the opening of our depth of being in a place that is not easy to get access to, that actually kind of hurts, scares us. You get to a place as you grow more spiritually where the individual I begins to evaporate or disappear into something much larger. If I were to ask you your name in the middle of meditating, ideally you would not remember. The closest you would come to naming yourself would be, I am. But if you still have a name, then you're still working to let go of the you that has anything. The you that feels particularly something that is only yours. As long as you think, I am the only one who has this, I am the only one that feels this, you are still lost in an ego-minded awareness. And what will start to take place over the course of time, decades really, is the wearing away of that, because day by day you incrementally let go of another layer of obfuscation and you start to see more in more real terms what's going on inside you. You start to dig into the underbelly of your being and you embrace it. You just say yes to this. I do know in my own practice that I am beginning to see things, feel things that are unlike anything I've ever felt before. Unnameable. I cannot describe to anybody who would listen or would understand, because I don't understand, this new level of feeling. There are no words, there's no poetry, there's no novel that can capture what's going on. You end up in a place, I don't know if this is ending, but you arrive at a place of unnameable experience. Awareness beyond that which can be clearly understood. It just is. It's very strange to me. I'm discovering that my photographs, which I talk about far too much, but my photographs are starting to overlay how I see the world. And what I'm starting to see is that the deeper you go into looking, the deeper you see into everything around you. And so even when I'm meditating with you guys, I'm seeing things that are very reflective of the photograph. It's like a deeper coloration, a deeper patterning, a kind of a layering of matter that I had not imagined before, and somehow the shooting of photographs of minor little patterning in the world suddenly is making me see the larger patterning that goes on around us, and it's ongoing. There is a awareness and a feeling that I cannot explain, and it is so powerful, and it has scary aspect. I can't explain what it is that's scared, but there is a fearful bigness to it. It's so creative and destructive. It's so vibrant. And we are all in this. We are all in this in a shared holding hand patterning of who are we? What are we? All we know is we're in it. And all we know is we have it together and that we are helping each other in some fundamental material, immaterial, physical, metaphysical, natural, supernatural way to know this unknowable reality that we are. That's where we are. And, you know, I keep waiting for the final, oh, I get it. Oh. And maybe that will arise at some point. But I'm also trying to understand the possibility of it not arising. There's an article in the New York Times this morning about cliffhangers in storytelling and how uncomfortable they are and how they bring us back to the table because we always want to know what happens. We always want to know the end. We want to know how it ends. Well, when you live in the realm of the infinite and eternal, you kind of have to give up the idea of the end, of resolution, of and everyone lived happily ever after. You have to let go of that thing which goes, ah. Or, in a way, you enter into that as a state of being, going, I do not know, and it's okay. I will never know, and it's okay. There is a kind of settledness at the depth of all of that, that is not part of the human mind, but it's part of the human experience of feeling. This idea that I am, period. Not that I know what I am, but I am. This idea that I am finite and infinite, minuscule and vast. I am. And that's what we are all being and working toward knowing. The fact is, you are that as we speak. If you don't know it, it's an unfolding that will become aware for you if you continue the journey of exploration and of deep feeling. Dive deep. Go into your feelings. Don't run away from the discomforting feelings. Don't be afraid of the fearsome feelings. Don't be afraid of the ones that have been hidden for decades. Go into them. I will tell you this. If you sit and meditate regularly, all of these things will come up. They will be brought into consciousness. They will be made aware to you. And you will be given a choice of going, nope, or you will be given the choice to go, okay, okay. And it will come. It will come. And it will be, in most cases, digestible. And it will expand your awareness of who you are. So find the courage, dive deep, feel your life, feel who you are, feel the journey, find the courage to feel what is, and you will learn what you're looking for in this lifetime. Any questions?
That little voice that guides us, so when feelings are tense, and you revert to, like you have to listen to that voice. And I find that when things are really intense and there's so many emotions and you've been put in situations that you're very uncomfortable with, but you have to deal with, it's life, you have to function. and the feelings are so intense, and I find, and I want you to speak to this, there's a little detachment that can happen with sort of listening to that little voice in your heart, but there's a bit of a detachment, so you're still in there, but you're able to function and not paralyzed.
I think that's really important, Judy. The word detachment is really important. It's not denying the feeling. It's stepping back and looking at it, or having the observer in you become aware. That's really the key to all of this. It's a kind of looking and realizing there is a witness and you are not the feeling. I mean, you are on some level, but the witness gives you this tiny little bit of, and it allows massive feelings to come into play. Massive, and you can deal with it. Detachment, it's tricky because people use detachment in the same way they use when they put things in compartments. You know, like, well, I don't have to deal with that. That's not detachment, that's hiding. Detachment is asking for help inside to surrender, which gives you an ability to sit back and look at the biggest and most powerful stuff going on around you and going, aha, aha. And as you say, it's a small voice, and it is a small voice, but it's the most comforting, most available help that we have in the universe. That small voice that just goes, it's okay. It's okay. It's very quiet. And I really think, I thank you for asking that question, because it's really important. When you really go into your emotional life, it's not just to get swept up in the drama of it, it's to allow it to come and to be observed and to be touched and to be experienced and to be known and also witnessed. And the witnessing is really key. Thank you.
Like I said, there's a paralysis that can happen when you have to deal with too much. But sometimes you can't hear that voice. And you're like, why did I follow that voice in my heart and I went to unknown territory and then to totally unknown and terrifying territory, and you're sort of paralyzed and you don't hear that voice anymore. You've got it detached.
I find in the meditative experience that voice will arise pretty regularly and will allow you to look at the paralyzing forces that are acting on you and take a breath and just release the hold that they have over you. You can separate from the paralytic sort of quality of what's happening. And if you can't, then I say, you know, go for a walk. You know, get in motion, move things around so that they're not stagnant and static. You know, they start to break up, and then you can kind of process it. But if you're going to deal with deep feeling, you're going to have to go through all of this stuff to arrive at that very simple place that simply is observant of and aware of the magnitude of human feeling that dominates this planet. It's really potent. And you become, as you say, as I said, we say, compassionate for your own feelings and for everybody else's. And that compassion really, in a way, is that detached space inside you that goes, because we all have it, everyone, and it's vast. It's really vast. You know, you never know when it's going to arise. I was talking to my grandson yesterday about something when he gets older, and he's broke into sobbing tears, and he said, "I don't want to get older. I don't want to get older. I just want to be like now." and I realized we all went through that. We're all terrified of this world that we're looking at and going, how am I going to function in that unbelievable world? I remember being so awed by my dad, who was not afraid to walk from the garage to the house at night when the garage doors closed and there were no lights on. I would never be able to do that. I would never get to that level of manliness and courage that could walk from a garage to the house. You know, that was always horrifying to me. And of course, one of the great things about life is you mature into these capacities to do. But you have to trust that you can do that emotionally. And I meet a lot of people who grow up and really still haven't tackled that stuff. You know, the avoidance of it. And I feel for it. And I see how early it starts. It really starts when you're tiny. And if my grandson when he's 50, revisits that moment, he'll do it with a kind of a sweet embrace of, that's who I was. That's how much I've grown. That's what life is. So many of the fears that locked me up were those of a 3.5-year-old. You know, and he'll move on, and we all move on. And we all, part of evolving into infinite grace is being willing to let go of the human dimension that keeps us in check. And that's emotional. Anyone else?
I thank you for bringing this up, because I know how close to yourself your feelings can bring you. But also speaking about paralyzing, a lot of times feelings can be paralyzing. And also know the state of mind if you kind of keep on with it, let's say meditation or something else, that the feelings kind of almost become secondary and material in a way. You're able to get to the task or to presence or something.
Beautiful. Yes. They are the obstruction and they are the tool that get you where you need to go. They're both. And if you can move through it without being obstructed by it, you arrive at another, what Rudy would call, level of functioning. And it's really extraordinary. The tasks become possible because you're no longer obstructed by the emotional fears or whatever those feelings are that you have allowed to block you. You keep breaking through these things and you become free of all of these things that hold you in check. But it's an ongoing process. And once you've broken through all of your personal ones, you realize there's the world ones. And they're not to be broken through. They're just to be taken in compassionate terms.
If you have feelings that are buried and compartmentalized and so on, sometimes when they come out, they can be very damaging. It can be, that they can cause you to break down in sobs uncontrollably or come out as anger and, you know, be hurtful. And so, in a sense, you're feeling them. You're allowing them to be expressed. You're not holding them back. But I don't see that as necessarily being helpful.
Having them break you down, having them become visible and available is very helpful. Expressing them in negative terms, let's say throwing them out at people to overcome the fact that they're inside you, yes, that can be damaging and destructive. Part of the meditative yogic ideal is that you witness, you bear witness, and you allow them to come up, but that you do not throw your naked emotionality into the world, because that creates, it takes all that emotion and just stirs the pot more, and then the pot just creates more emotion and throws it back at you, and then you create more of the hostilities and punishments and pains that the world inflicts on everybody. So part of the ideal, if you can be able to go deep into your emotions and arrive at compassion, is that in compassion, even for yourself, you will witness this stuff arising and you will find the ability to go, I get it. And rather than throwing it at other people, you will find a transformative capacity to express it non-emotionally, to be able to express what you feel with calmness, with honesty, with depth, with intelligence, and it becomes a higher functioning rather than somebody who just gives into their spontaneous levels of feeling, which is a very uninformed and very undeveloped form of consciousness. That happens all the time. So part of another dialogue, let's say from this one today, is once you've gotten in touch with your feelings, how do you transform that into something that doesn't become reactive, that doesn't become a sort of a karmic driving force in creating problems for other people? You have to be able to get in touch with your feelings, and you have to be able to then transmute that into what Rudy would call higher energy, greater knowledge, greater clarity, and you won't find that you want to cause other people to suffer what you're suffering. It's just the opposite. Your compassion will want you to help other people not feel that, not feel what they're going through. It's a different level of work, and it's a level of work that comes out of years of meditative experience. But when these feelings come up that are uncontrollable, if you cannot direct them at other people, but feel them in yourself and let them fully express themselves, if they break you down, that's part of the process. It's part of the goal, to let this stuff break you down and feel the stuff that you have been hiding from, that has been unavailable to you, that has been waiting to acknowledge who you are and reveal yourself to you in a whole new way. That's the journey. How to act upon it, like I say, it could be another talk here. But I really do believe the essence of it is arriving at emotional honesty. Emotional honesty is expressing what you feel, not through the realm of emotion, but through the realm of simple clarity. Just saying, this is what I'm feeling. This is what it is. This is how it is. You know, you don't have to bark at the world and yell at the world and harm the world because you're feeling fearful. You know, I was walking today and all these dogs are barking at me, and I just smile and I put my hand out and they all then come over and lick me, you know, but their first response is barking. My response being, welcome, here I am, let's connect, changes them. That becomes a higher energy. I don't have to go, oh my God, they barked at me, oh, I got to pick up a club, you know, it's just the opposite. It's just be available. I mean, yes, they may bite me in the end, but it hasn't happened yet. What happens is there's a kind of transmutation of their fear into, it's okay, I care about you. Here, you can check my bare hand, not the palm, but just the back where they can, you know, they can lick it, know that I'm safe, and you can have that kind of exchange that allows for a kind of better functioning in the world as we know it. It's when you become fearful and you throw your stuff out and other people react to that stuff, then the world becomes karma inducing and you create problems that will go on and haunt you and other people for decades and lifetimes. That's a problem. So learning to control that is part of this process, but you can't even begin to control it if you're not aware of your feelings. And if they are coming out of the closet and out of the basement and throwing themselves up to you and you're not meditatively aware of them, yeah, then wow, that's tough. And it creates a lot of havoc in life and in the world. And so I'm not trying to tell you, just express your feelings, you know. On the other hand, yesterday I was walking and a woman was driving and I was pulling over to the side of the road as I'm walking to get out of her way, but she didn't pull over to avoid me at all. She almost came right next to me and on the wrong side of the road. And all I said was, bitch! I was so angry at this woman, this bitch, for not being conscious of my mortality. And I just went, I said it out loud. I said, you bitch. And I felt so good. I felt, because it was such a true, honest reaction. And I walked away. I just kept walking. And I let go of it. I didn't walk home with it. I didn't stew with it. I didn't want to, you know, go find her license plate. And, you know, none of that. I let out a feeling that was true and honest. And we all have those things. And so if you do explode with emotional truth, then go back to whoever you exploded to and 5 minutes later go, look, I couldn't help that. I'm sorry. I love you. Just do that. It cleanses. It cleans. It gets rid of the problem. It's a way of functioning. It's a tool in the arsenal of how to get through life with an expanding, perhaps higher awareness. It's healthy. Anybody else?
It takes courage to do when it's difficult like that, and you can reach a point, and I know you're supposed to take a break or just laugh and just go, don't take yourself so seriously, but sometimes you reach a point and you go, well, to get to the next level, I've got to deal with this, but you just don't feel like you have any courage left, I'm trying to find my courage.
Yeah, if it doesn't arise, give it time, it will. There's restoration, you get restored. Sometimes you're depleted. Yes. When you are depleted, take a nap, go for a walk, relax, go to sleep, and hopefully the restoration of the human experience comes back to you full-formed the next day or after the nap or whatever. You feel better. You feel revived. And at that point, you can go back and say to somebody, I'm sorry, because the courage comes with the rest. The courage comes with being restored. And it happens all the time. Meditation can do that too. But you have to be restored. You can't, when you're depleted, you're depleted, and we get depleted. So that's not a good time to try to have a big discussion with somebody about how you feel about who they are in the world. You don't want to operate from depletion. You want to operate from stillness and quietude and a large embrace, not from a punishing state. So you just have to find that. Do you have a question?
I did. It's about expressing emotions. And clearly, I don't have a problem like knowing not to express icky emotions to other people. But then there's ways of just expressing icky emotions just to myself. Like there could be journaling or sometimes people hit pillows, as a way to express it. And and last week, I remember for the first time like having emotion during the closed eye meditation. And like in my mind, I wanted to go, and so I did that in my mind's eye. But, obviously I didn't. But I could imagine, I see where people have kriyas now because it was sort of spontaneous.
That can and does happen. I had a class with Rudy once where I literally couldn't stop laughing. And nobody was bothered by it. I just kept roaring, just laughing.
The question is about like appropriate expressing of emotions, and maybe that's another talk, but...
appropriate is the word. And, we have certain rules and laws about how one does it. Of course, we're in a society right now where those are breaking down, but we have our own sense of rules. And follow the rules. There are certain things that are, going to be difficult for people to deal with. And if you just express your...
So that's not the problem. But I'm even wondering, like, journaling some anger. Is that really... Maybe that's not appropriate. Maybe that just solidifies it. Obviously not to give it to other people, but even to myself.
Well, it's probably better than giving it to other people. And at some point, when you sit quietly... You can take all of that stuff and go, it's not a big deal. You arrive at a place of going, what is that about? It's not important. And it just goes away. It's like you dig underneath the surface of this stuff and it frees you. And that's kind of the journey. And the more you do it, the more that happens, and the more you become a liberated being. Whether you arrive at total liberation, I don't know what that is exactly, but you arrive at something that is a more beneficial state, perhaps, than one you may have been in before. And that's a good way to live, that life becomes more beneficial to you and to those around you. And you do that by not ignoring what you feel, but by living in it and expressing it compassionately and honestly. Okay. Thank you.